Kerem Baisai, so ready to begin the new year with a new sugya, a whole new series of sugyas, some very heavy-duty Dini Mamonu sugyas. But we did say goodbye for the last year to Tfisat Achshav Ol HaSafek. We're about to begin a whole new series of different topics. So our sugya, although it appears in the Mabasa Dabeis, it's not really a Baba Basa Dabei Sugya, which is not a great surprise, because neither was the last series of Sugya's Dabei Sugya. It appears only because the Gemara is trying to tackling the question what the word in the Mishnah means of Mechitza. The Mishnah says that Shutfin Shiratzu Lasos Mechitza Bonus HaKos HaBiyamtza. So already in the first day of Shia, we made reference to the fact that it's not clear what that word Mechitza means. Does the word Mechitza mean a wall? Does the word mechitza mean a chalukah? I mean, they decided to divide up the property. So that's really the Baba Basra topic. That's the real question. Has a Kriya Shema, has a Shema, but again, that's down the line, we'll talk about that. But the Gemara is just trying to analyze a little bit taich, just what's the proper translation of the word mechitza. And the Gemara says what we find in other places in Chazal, other Mishnayos, that the Tanaim used the word mechitza, and it definitely means a wall. So one of the sources that the Gemara quotes, we really could have quoted other sources as well, but one of the sources the Gemara quotes is a Mishnah, a sukkah tucked away in Maseches Kelayim, about a machita sakerem shedifritza. There's a halacha that when you say I plant a vineyard, so you have to be very, very careful that I shouldn't have the wheat and the barley too close to the vineyard, because that's going to be a problem of kili hakerem. Kili hakerem is a very, very serious level of kelayim. There are multiple halachas of kelayim. Most of the things of Kelayim that you do, but the Yebed, Nishkefelach. Let's say, for example, a person did a Kavas Ilan, a person grafted trees. So he grafted, what's a good example of grafted fruit? I don't know, a peach and an apricot makes a nectarine, no, is that right? Am I right? I made that up? I don't know, maybe, okay, good. So you crossbreed a peach and apricot, and you get a nectarine. So even though what you did was Osir, but the Yebed, you're allowed to eat the nectarine. There's nothing else with eating the results of Kavas Ilan. Grafted trees, you're allowed to eat. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he's not sure whether you can make a shechuyanu on a grafted fruit. Because he says, it's like, hey, you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, Rebbeinu Shlomo, for giving us this wonderful opportunity to partake of something that was a nisa deraisa to make. So he said, it's a little pastish, doesn't sound right. So Moshe's night that maybe you shouldn't make a shechuyanu on a grafted fruit. So sometimes you have these wacky fruits people pick for shechuyanus on Rosh Hashanah. I had some fruit on it. I had no idea where it came from. If it was from Sheshmer Bresha, someone was I had no sugar what it looked like. But anyway, so we try to do our best. So back to the story. So most Kilayim, if you go ahead, let's say you do Kilayim's run, you plant wheat and barley together. So with the Eved, you can eat the wheat and the barley. So the only type of Kilayim that's also even with the Eved is Kiliyakarim. If you plant wheat, barley, and grapes together, too close for comfort, so that's already a problem. That's already an issue. How do you know that? It's not supposed to be in Chumash. The Torah says, the Torah says, if you plant wheat, barley, and carom together, so pentiktosh, it becomes not kadosh, it becomes a tukat esh. It's a wash that has to be burnt, it has to be destroyed. So kill that carom from the disruffin, which we spoke a lot about last year, but I'm not going to go back to that for now. So that's one sugya, that's the sugya hilchos kilayim, is the parasha of kill that carom. How do you circumvent kill that carom? So one very, very easy way of doing it is, if you build a wall, if you have a mechitz, if you have a fence, so I'm planting my wheat and barley, and I'm planting my wheat on one side, and you're planting your grapes on the other side, even though they're very, very close to one another, and even though, as the Rishonim point out, they yonik from each other, the roots are all mixed up on the ground, but it doesn't matter, as long as it's nikolai, and as long as it's clear that there's a demarcation, so that's like called kilayim, because the word kilayim means like an abuvia, the very word kilayim means a mixture of things together. So if it's visibly doesn't look like it's mixed together, because there's clearly a fence separating between the two, so that's not an issur of kilayim. I always asked this as a trivia question. What's the only pasuk in Chumash that has a name of a masechta three times in the pasuk? And in the targum of that pasuk, it has the name of another masechta. The battery's running low. Yeah, the answer is kilayim. Oh, very good. Kilayim and Erevin, right? Because the Aramaic translation of the word kilayim is Erevin, it's mixture. So the Targum says in the Pasuk, Eschu Vasai Tishmor Behem Techolos Abir Kilayim, Sarcholos Isra Kilayim, Ve Kilayim Shan Ezlial Alecha. So it says the word kilayim three times. Each one of those places, the Targum says Erevin. So That's the answer to the tricky question. Okay, we have to plug it in, or else we're gonna lose power in this one. Okay, we happen to have a plug. The plug's probably not gonna last.
I'll pause.
All right, we'll try our best. So again, so we mentioned that Kilya Kerem is more serious than all other Kilayim because it carries with it a serious consequences that the resulting is going to be Osir. But the way out of Kilya Kerem is to put up a machitza. So let's say if I'm my own balabas and I have a kerem on one side of my field and I want to plant the other side of my field, I put up a fence and sure, everything's hunky-dory, everything's wonderful. It becomes a little bit more complicated if you have two parties. So let's say I have a kerem and you have a wheat field. So we have to decide together to put a fence up. Great, it's wonderful. So we put up our fence, and great. I start planting my grapes on one side, you start planting your wheat on the other side, and then disaster strikes. Mechitzas a kerem shenifritzo. The wall comes tumbling down. Or even the wall doesn't totally come tumbling down. It starts to develop pierces in the wall. And the whole sugyas and mishnayis and kilayim and beginning of Seches Erevin about what constitutes a pierza for these purposes, what constitutes a breach in the wall for these halachos. But the bottom line is the wall has been breached. So now that the wall has been breached, we have a huge problem because what's about to happen is that we're going to now run into a kilayim problem. So if we catch it, nip it in the bud, and we quickly fix the fence before any more kilayim grows, so then everything will be great. But if we dreze a harom, wait around a little while, so then lo and behold, whatever's growing from here on in is now going to become treif, is now going to be elsur. So the wheels can already begin to be turning. Some of you learned chulin with me last year. We'll hopefully appreciate this even more. Well, hopefully everyone will appreciate it, but they'll just appreciate a little more. That we're going to have a Yerodea problem with our hands. We're going to have a Hilchus Kashrus problem with our hands. Because if you think about it, when the grapes, when the wheat was growing up until this point, everything was growing better. Right? Think about it, because there's mechitza there. So as long as there's mechitza there, it's not Erev, it's not Moriachas, everything's okay. The minute that mechitza comes tumbling down, all subsequent growth is going to become Isser. So I start wheels turning in my head. That sounds like Yerodea to me. That sounds like Bittul Barov to me. That sounds like Bittul Bashishim, Bittul B'meyah, Bittul Messiah. Wow, Tarevism. Wow, whoa, whoa. So the truth is, we have a lot to talk about that, but that's not our immediate sugya. We will hopefully mention Hashem get to that a little bit down the line. So there's the sugya b'chitza kem shenifritza has a very, very real relevance in terms, not just in terms of kilayim per se, but it touches upon many rules of Hilchos Tarevis and many of the sugyas of Bittul, some of the things that we spoke about last year are going to come back to us again in this sugya as well. But the recording's on, right? But we're not beginning from the Yerodea angle of the sugya. We're dealing from the Chashim Mishpat angle of the sugya. Because it's a very real Dini Momenus issue that's about to take place. Because if this produce becomes Osir, so when something becomes Osir Panah, it's significantly depreciated in value from $1,000 to zero. Because once it's Osir Panah, it's worthless, it's bubkis. Somebody is experiencing a hefset over here, and somebody is responsible for that hefset. I don't know yet who that person is. I'm not sure yet, is it the Baal HaKerem who's being mazik the Tvua, or is it the Baal HaTvua who's being mazik the Kerem, or maybe they're being mazik each other, but there's definitely some kind of a hezek that's taking place over here. That's the Chashimisha part of the sugya. So the Chashimisha part of the sugya is really the part that we're going to focus on at the beginning to try to understand what is going on over here, what kind of a hezek is this? The reason why this is so complicated and such a shastik sugya is because there are multiple issues in this kind of hezek. This is not quite regular hezek. The regular image that we have of Hezek is, I take a sledgehammer and I smash your car. So that's an odav mazik biyadayim. That's what the Torah says. I'm a makah nefesh pemi shalmena. I'll dafk an animal. I damage your mom. Anytime I damage your mom, I'm an odav mazik biyadayim. It's a false chumash. Here, it's much more subtle kind of a damage for two reasons. Number one, nothing's being done biyadayim. I didn't break your grapes. I didn't break your teruah. I had a fence that I was supposed to bend, and I didn't get around to doing it. And now the fact that fence was never fixed, that's setting up a whole chain of events that's causing damage to you. So that could start to ring bells of what principle in halacha Rabbi say. That's a very, very indirect kind of a hezek. That smacks a little bit of grama, the garmi, that whole area of halacha of indirect nezek. That's one thing. But there's something else that's very unique, very special about this hezek. What else is different about this? This is not a smashed car. What is unique about this hezek? The damage is not discernible. It's not visible. It's what's called a hezek she'eno nikar. Normal hezek is, I have a car, so the car was worth $10,000, it was running beautifully. The guy comes with a sledgehammer and smashes it, now it's worth $2,000. It's broken, resold as scrap metal. So that's a visible fear. Anybody in the world will realize that the car went down in value. Over here, I bring these grapes, or if I bring this wheat to the non-Jewish marketplace, and I say to them, how much is it worth? They'll give me the same price for it that it was worth before it became osir. So now I can't do that because it's osir b'ano. So I'm not minimizing the fact that the other person suffered a tremendous loss, but the type of a loss that he suffered, the hezek that he suffered, was what we call in halacha a hezek she'eno nikar. And a hezek she'eno nikar is a whole new category in halacha. Is that even qualifies a hezek altogether? Is that called a hezek? Hezek she'eno nikar. So you can already begin to see the wheels are turning. We have a lot of cloth to discuss. So again, we have your day issues to discuss. We have Bittul Barov coming around the bend. We have Bala Olam Taroves, those of us may remember this from days gone by, coming around the bend. We have Mazikai de Grama, we have Mazikai de Gami, we have Hezek Shere Mikor. We got a lot of things to talk about. I think this is the perfect example. It's a little bit of a follow-up on what we spoke about. I spoke about it a little bit in Shul here, the first time Rosh Hashanah, and I spoke about it in a little bit of Divya Chizik that we gave in the Yeshiva before Rosh Hashanah. We quoted that Rambam, the Nebuchadnezzar's Be'il, about the Chukim and the Mishpatim. So when I told over that whole shtukotai with the rocks and everything that I said in Yeshiva, so remember I said I started off with the water part and then I talked about the rocks. So in Shul I left out the water part because I left it out deliberately because there are a few people who suffered some serious water damage. Yeah. So I didn't think they would particularly enjoy that Moshe Rosh Hashanah night about this raging river coming and just you have to know your crowd. Yeah, you have to be careful to sense of the people and know what you have to know what not to talk about at times also. So I focused on the rational. No one was hit with the meteorite this Rosh Hashanah, hopefully. so it was safe to talk about rocks. Anyway, getting back to the story. So if you remember we quoted Rambam, the Rambam says that Shmiras HaChukim V'HaMishpatim means that the chukim we don't understand, the mishpatim we do understand, so we have to give the chashivas haTorah to all mitzvah Torah, whether we do understand or don't understand. It was the whole theme of what we spoke about. So this is a perfect example of a sugya. It is the combination of chukim mishpatim. I said, we're talking about kelayim, which is mam shechoy. Why is kelayim kerem osur? Well, I have no idea. Nobody knows. No human being alive knows what kelayim kerem is osur. So this is chok par excellence. On the other hand, these are dinamomenes. This is gami, grama, the mazik, hazgeneka. This is the heavy duty cheshire mishpat. So this is the interplay, the intersection of statutes and judgments, whatever you want to call it, the chukim mishpatim. So with that introduction, let's see if we can start off the sugya. So again, this is all tangential to Mavasta Beis, but in Lo Achshav Emesai, you got to learn the sugya, where it appears. And wait till you guys get to Baba Kama Daf Kuf, that's where the sugya really appears. Wait till then, and wait till next Gilgal, so you got to learn the Mavasta Beis. So Chazal depict this scenario of a chitza kerish yifritza. The wall came tumbling down. And Chazal tell us, the Tanoim tell us, that someone has to pay for this damage. And if and when the hezek occurs, and it's not so posh and hukus kelayim, if and when that happens, but if and when the hezek did occur, if the person didn't fix the fence, and enough time has elapsed that hezek occurred, so that it happened to be that the Baha Kerem is the one who's held responsible? Which is also a loaded question. Why Balakaram went at the Balatvua? That's the Hilchas Diske Shechenim Shaila. That's about the second barak, but hopefully we're going to talk about that also in the context of the next couple of shiurim. So we definitely have what to talk about. But if and when the Hezek does occur, then the Halacha says clearly that the Balakaram is chayav to pay. Comes the Gemara in Bava Kama in the ninth parak and says, oh, this Mishnah, this man b'chazal, that the Balakaram has to pay, this statement of the Tanaim, that the Balakaram has to pay, is going in line, is following the opinion that says, Dida de Garmi is chayav. Dida de Garmi, who did, what's Dida de Garmi? So comes the Gemara in the end of the ninth parak of Bava Kama, the test, where the Gemara quotes a statement of Rabba. Rabba is that lawyer. Rabba says, I'm a real mean guy. I want to damage you, but I want to do it in a very subtle way. I know that you have an IOU note that says somebody owes you $1,000. So what do? I grab that IOU note, that shtar, and I burn the shtar. How much do I have to pay you? So I'm a Rabba. Hasirif shtarosir shalchameroi. In Ochayv El Demeni Yerubulad, I have to pay you the value of a blank piece of paper in Staples. How much? Half a penny. That's what I have to pay. I give vault, the guy shrank, Chaydekai, what do you mean? You cost me $1,000, I can't collect the debt anymore. The guy's going to deny the debt, the bank is not going to answer me, not going to talk to me. So you cost me $1,000 of damage. Says Rabba, in Ochayv El Demeni Yerubulad. You don't have to pay for the debt itself. You know why? That's too far removed. That's grumma. That's crazy. I burnt the paper. The fact that now you can't collect the debt. I burnt the paper. You don't have the paper. The paper, Bezos is not going to give you the money. It's 20 steps down the line, you're not going to get your money. I'm not called an Adam Avazik B'Adayim. That's what Rabba formulates. And the Gemara says that statement of Rabba is actually the Chalikas of Tanoim. Some Tanoim Taka do say that's Potter. And other Tanoim say no, that's Chayev. Why is that Chayev? That's called Dina de Garmi. Now notice the word Groma and the word Garmi have the same shoresh, the same letters to them. We have absolutely no idea what the difference between Groma and Garmi is. Guess what, everybody say? That's also one of our sugyas in the next couple of weeks. So we have about five sugyas that are all revolve around Groma, Garmi, Hezek Shemenikers, and gear delays and Hezek Shechinim, all of this Cheshire, that's just the Cheshire part of the next couple of weeks. So I told you we have a lot to talk about. So Rabbi Yisrael comes to Gemara and says, Sar Shechaveroi is not really Grama. It's a cousin of Grama. It's related to Grama. It's what's called Dina de Garmi. It seems to be a little bit more direct, whatever in the world that means. And therefore, not everyone agrees with the Potter. One Tana says Dina de Garmi is Chayav, and other Tanaim say Dina de Garmi is Potter. We happen to pass in Allah like that one Tana, the Gemara says. Who is the one Tana who's Don Din the Gemara? Remember?
Rabbi Meir.
Rabbi Meir. Maybe the Don Din the Gemara. Says the Gemara, where did we state Rabbi Meir? Where does it say anywhere? Amar Rabbi Meir, Gami is Chayav? Bechitza Kemshin, if it's a Bechitza Kemshin, this is a Stam Mishnah Kilayim, Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. And therefore, this Mishnah that says that the Bala Kerem is Chayav for the Hezek that takes place in the Tvua, this is assuming Din the Gemara. That's the reason why it's chayav. So the Gemara basically made this mishnah machlokes tanoim. If you hold up all the other tanoim, the idea of the Gemara is potter, so mechitza kem shifritz is also potter. It's only Rabbi Meir the Shita, so you hold the idea of the Gemara is chayav. Ad kan tiver Gemara mesachet bavim kam. So everybody said, what do you see clear for this Gemara? Clear as day for this Gemara. There were three categories of hezek. There's mazik the adayim, because the guy took the sledgehammer. There's grumma, some very, very indirect, a wildly indirect kind of a hezek that everybody agrees is potter. So the two extremes, like we said in life all the time, extremes are easy. The extreme of mazik b'yadayim is for shuachay. The extreme of grumma b'alma is zicha potter. And garmi falls somewhere in the middle. And this mishnah of mechitzah kev shifritz for some deep dark secret is the perfect example, is the prototype of dinu de garmi. And this is the source that remains the Kama says Dina Gabi is Chayef. I can't debate the Gemara. So if you put together the Gemara of Basta Beis, the Gemara of Kavod of Kuf, you come to the realization that one thing that this is not Mazik B'Yadayim. It can't be Mazik B'Yadayim. It's not Shaykh. If this would be called the Mazik B'Yadayim, so what does it do to me? Why does the Gemara make this Mishnah only the Das Yochel Rebbe Meir? So it's clear as day there's that Mazik B'Yadayim. Do I need a Gemara to tell me that? Would you in a million years have thought, what's the Mazik B'Yadayim here? Look what happened. I planted my wheat behefter. You planted, I planted my grapes behefter. You planted your wheat behefter. There was a wall, a 10 feet high wall for the last 20 years. Everything is hunky-dory. The wall came down. So we're screaming at the Balakaram, do this to Mazik. You're causing damage. You're ruining the other guy's wheat. Is the Balakaram being Mazik be a Dayim? What's your Dayim? Balakaram? He's not even here. He went there to Israel for Yom. He's not even here, the Balakaram. Who's my Dayim? And even if he's here, and we say to him, go fix the wall, better fix the wall, you'll be Mazik. He says, I don't want to fix the wall. That's a Mazik be a Dayim. Where's the Dayim? Just whoever's on, can just please just mute yourselves, okay? So it's obvious. Why is Rabbi Sobolsky wasting his time and explaining to a Shtichot Torah as Nishkin Mazik B'Yadayim? Of course, it's not a Mazik B'Yadayim. So they say this sets the stage for the Ramban. The Ramban in his Kuntros Dita de Garmi, which if you haven't yet seen the Maamar Kamos, you will see the Maamar Kamos, and you will notice that the name of the next five sugyas, we're pretty much not learning about Bavas Dabez. For the most part, learning Dina Degami. Ramban wrote a kuntras called Kuntras Dina Degami. It appears in the different versions of the Chiddushi Ramban. All the number of pages that I gave is on this one, the black one, the newest version of Ramban. So if you're trying to find it in the pages in the old Ramban, you're never going to succeed. So try to get your hands on the black Rambans. I put out about 20 different quotations from the Kuntras Dina Degami in the next five sugyas. Okay? So the Ramban starts the ball rolling with the following kasha. Break the Ramban, I don't understand the Gemara. The Gemara categorizes Mechitza Keren Shenifritza as a mere Dina Degami, as subject to a Machlekes HaTanoim between Rav Meir and the Rabbanan. Other Mazik B'Yadayim is Nish, for sure not. But I can call it something else, says the Ramban. Name that name, those who learn Papa Kama. Name that Mazik. Why does the Gemara call it a Mazik Derech Garmi, which is the whole subject to a Machlokes? Mute, guys, mute. Whoever's not muted, you gotta mute, okay? You can unmute if you have something to say, but. I can mute everybody, you know that? Okay, great, everyone's mute. Okay, if you have something to say, you can definitely have the right to unmute yourself, but otherwise, just get the background music. So Rabbi say, Frek the Ramban and Kasha, what do you mean? It's only Dina the Gami. It's much more serious than that. What does the Ramban mean? What is it? I have grapes, and you have wheat. My grapes. I run a Mazik, I run a Ezekiel, or a Cheshi Mishpur, whoever's on. Guys in Zoom could also answer this one. I have grapes, and you have wheat. And for some reason, the grapes are the mazik of the wheat, not the vice versa, which is a whole nother loaded question, but not for now. So my grapes are damaging your wheat. No. Fill me in. It's not an other mazik, it's a what? Mamana mazik. Anyone look up a kavod habeis? Anyone look up Parshas Mishpatim? The Torah says, if my animal damages you, whether it gores you, it gores your animal. My animal walks in your property and tramples over your vegetables. My animal eats up your carrots. I just listed off Karen, Regel, Shane. There's a whole parsha in the Torah called Mamana Mazik. Half of Parsha Mishpatim is Mamana Mazik. Even though the Torah depicts Mamana Mazik as an animal, it doesn't have to be an animal. If my property damages you, does it Mamana Shehizik? So Frek the Ramban, let's view my kerem, let's view my grapes as the mamoni shehizik, your property. Just as if my shore eats up your property, my shore gores your animal, I have to pay. I don't have to pay al dina de garmi. It's not a machlekes hatanoim, I have to pay al tfashas mishpatim. So once the Gemara drains the cup of a comment of tzadites and telling us, oh, by the way, this mishpat b'chitzakar shidifritza is only dina de garmi. It's only true according to Rav Meir. It's machlokes Tanoim. Typically, that's a classic example of a money shehizik. That's the kasha you have to ask when you remember the kama, the puf, when you remember the basa the days. What happened to the money shehizik?
Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't this case be different though? Because in the case like of a shore, you don't have to do anything if the shore damages. Here, you have to plant the grapes first in order for anything to happen after apple effect.
No, I planted my grapes, which is great. I bought a shore, I planted my grapes. So right now, I have mamonos. This belongs to me. My grapes belong to me, and my animal belongs to me. The same way that I'm responsible to make sure that my shore doesn't go out and run around and gore somebody, I'm going to make sure my grapes don't go running around, going out, and ossering somebody else's tavua.
There's a chiyuv shmirah on plants.
Do I own the plants?
Yeah.
Okay, so am I responsible? Moncha, shmirah, why not? If normally my plants don't do too much, if I have a tree, I mean, tree is a bad example. I have a carrot growing in my backyard, it's hard for the carrot to cause damage. But if I have grapes, those grapes, believe it or not, could cause damage. They just knocked out a whole guy's wheat field.
Wow. So you're saying someone might have a skewer to block off their...
Yeah, it's called building a wall. That's the Ramban. The Ramban's marshal, he says, the same way you have to lock up you have to put a wall stopping your animal from going out, so you have to put a wall stopping your kelayim. That's the Ramban's kasha.
Really?
Yeah.
But this also isn't like physical damage that's being caused.
Okay, that's a whole other book. You already touched on the Hezek Shen Nikar part, but right now we're ignoring that. Right now, either we're assuming Hezek Shen Nikar is Chayev, or we're assuming this is not called Hezek Shen Nikar. So I don't know the answer yet to that question. You got to come back after Sukkot for that. But I just want to know, I had $1,000 worth of wheat, and now they're worth zero. Somebody caused that. Who caused that? Grapes caused that. Who owns those grapes? They're Reuben's grapes. Reuben got the title on the grapes. The same way Reuben's shore caused damage, Reuben's grapes caused damage.
But you need that shear as by mamonos. So there by your animal, and you know, okay, you have to watch it.
That's right. Here, the fence fell down. The chitza carries in if it's a omelo gador. The Mishnah says, the basin says today, hey, your fence just fell down. Fix it. And the guy doesn't listen to us, so he's pesher. So that's the shear. That's Ramban's question. What page is the Chiddush Ramban on Din Degamir? Do I get the Marmar Kermis? Who's got it? Anyone got the right page on that one? Okay, I can't find it. Hold on. Yeah, I got it.
Kuf test?
Oh. Ramban asked the kasha at the bottom of page Kuf test. Tu ikala meidak. Hechi shamina mehai masnis and the dinah dinah degarmi. How can the Gemara Bavakama say that we derive from this Mishnah dinah degarmi? Hamamaynehu. Umamonehu da azik. Shagafanim shalom him shaholchim is arvim tefas shechaver osin also. Umeachas shalov ligdor mipnei. So since he has to put up the fence, for loyar mina be'al nizik achas atzvat. That's a whole other story. A mile lechayev kuliyama should be chayev lecholadays. What do you need Rabbi Meir for? Hashoruhu de lo tafach biape. The grapes are his ox that he didn't lock. He didn't put up a fence. Meachshalov ligdor lo godra. That's the famous Ramban's guy. But by saying, we're no one near the Teretz. We have to analyze the kasha. In the worldview of the Ramban's kasha, if we had a blackboard here, we would put grapes equal shore. I'm going to challenge you to go back in your memories, back to Bava Kama. Those who were with me in Bava Kama days. Usher, you around Bava Kama days? Whoever was with us?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So you got to go back to your memory. Those who don't were with us in Bava Kama, go back to Parshas Mishpatim. The Ramban uses the lashon shore. It's like a shore de lo tafach biyape. With the lashon in the Ramban, a shore can damage in three ways. There are three separate avos nezikin of shore. There's keren, and the shore gores. There's shein, the shore eats, and regel, the shore tramples. And they're all chayev, slightly different. A keren is a parasha for sure, for chatzinezek, for sure tam. Shave Rebbe is Potter B'Shisarabim. There are difference in nuances between the different types of Shur, but there are three independent categories of Shur. Which of these three do you think the Ramban was referring to? Which of these three do you think this is closest to? Your initial reaction would be, you think this is closer to Keren, closer to Shane, closer to Regel. I tell you which one it's not. Not Shane. Wasn't that Shane? Shane, by definition, the Gemara says, it's like Yesh Hanol Hazika. It's like, Shane means the animal goes, eats and enjoys it. Here, my grapes didn't enjoy what they were doing. The whole concept of Shane doesn't really make any sense. So probably the only two mazikin that we could discuss would be Keren or would be Regel. Let's take Keren, for example. Let's start off with Keren. Let's assume that's what the Gemara meant. That's what the Ramban meant. The Ramban's kasha was, let's call these grapes a Keren Shehizik. It's not fundamentally different than an animal that went out and gored, just as the animal spazieres away and catches you and gores you or gores your animal. So to the grapes went traveling, they went under to the fence, to the breach of the fence, and they caused a hefset to the tefillah. So let's assume for a moment that the Ramban was talking al tilchas keren. Comes the Divrei Yecheskel. Yecheskel is a Shiva in Slabotka before the war. Comes the Divrei Yecheskel and he says, I have a technical problem with the Ramban. I don't understand the formulation of the Ramban's kasha. Because there's a technicality tucked away in Hilchas Mazik, particularly Hilchas Keren Shehizik, that will prevent this equation on the board between grapes and a shor. It just can't be. There's no such thing as labeling these grapes as the shor Hamazik, as the Keren Hamazik, for the following technical quirk. So the Bechaz got all of Babakam in front of him. He's reading a Ramban, one liner in the middle of Kutus, the Dina de Gami, and he's got all of the Babakam in front of him. And he makes reference to the following statement in the Gemara, the first paragraph of the Sefer Kama. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, has a startling statement. He really says, if you have a shor that is ownerless, shor shel hefker, if the shor shel hefker kills somebody, the shor is potter. Normally, if a shor kills somebody, it's chayav mises beizdin. If the shor doesn't have an owner, so the shor is patur mises beizdin. Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Just conceptually, almost philosophically, why do you think that's true? Why would you think that would be true? I didn't say we followed that view, but why would you think that's true? So it sounds a little bit, Rabbi Yehuda sounds like he's taking a stand on what seems to be machlokes that we've shown him, is the parasha shor and niska. Why do we kill the animal that kills somebody? So some Rishonim seem to say, because it's almost like an onus for the Bailam. It's not the Shor, the Shor is a Bechir Chofshis, the Shor doesn't know what he's doing. So it's an onus for the Bailam. So it makes a lot of sense if he says, if it's a Shor Shal Hefke, there are no Bailam, so what are you killing the Shor for? The Shor itself is innocent. So that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Then Rabbi Yehuda goes one step further. He says, what if you have a Shor that had an owner, at the time of the Negicha, it was owned by somebody, and then subsequent to the Negicha, the owner was Mafki the Shor. Again, rightfully so, the shore. You know, the owner sees that this crazy shore that I have, that's not Kedaya, what do I need this heartache for? So when he sees the shore killed somebody, then he's immediately mafka the shore. Guess what? Comes to Rebbe and says, for who are bevalav, leish merenu, hasher yisokam, agabal of yumas, ach yulo ba'ilu, mishas negich, achas skil, achas gmadi. So Rebbe has a double chidush. Chidush number one is, a shore that killed ownerless his potter. Chiddush number two is, even if it killed as being owned by somebody, but it was subsequently declared to be hefker, it's vayta potter for Mrs. Beisdin. Chiddush God of Rabbi Yehuda. We happen not to accept Rabbi Yehuda's first theory. We paskei that a shor that's ownerless is chayav misa. Perhaps that indicates that we hold that there's some degree of responsibility on the shor itself. Perhaps it means that we hold that the shore does have some kind of basic, innate intelligence, enough intelligence to know not to kill people. That's possibly. The Ramban of Torah discusses that a little bit. After Parshas Noach, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the behemoth some kind of a basic understanding that they shouldn't be killing people. That's negotiable. But we pass in the halacha that a shore shall hefker is chayav misa anyway. Obviously, if we hold that a shore shall hefker is potter, I'm sorry, it's chayav for shteitzach a shor shal bialim she shuf hifkiru. Of course, it's going to be chayav. It's like it's Rabbi Yehuda's second din is a moot discussion. Ladidon. However, many rishayim, led by the Rosh and others, the Rosh, the first people come and say that b'med devar mamurim that we hold that a shor shal hefkir is chayav and a shor she shuf hifkir bialim is chayav. That's vis-a-vis misa. What if the halacha would play out in terms of a shor shehizik? What would it then be if you had an animal that gored but didn't kill anybody? It damaged, either damaged a person, damaged another shor, damaged property. It was Karen, with through the same horns, the same running around with shugra and goring, but it didn't quite kill anybody, just damaged somebody. So there's a simple reading of the Gemara in the first paragraph of Bava Kamma that seems to say, and the Rosh picked up in this Gemara, that even we who don't accept Rabbi Yehuda by shor shehemis, we would accept Rabbi Yehuda by shor shehizik. Everybody buys into that basic marshal that if it's an owner ashore, there's no one to hold responsible for. And guess what? Even if it was owned b'shas ma'isa, but now it's ownerless, vayter, there's no chiyav. You can't have a chiyav karen, a karen hamazik doesn't exist, can't have a shor shehizik that exists, unless you have a full-fledged ownership of chiyav yatzai. So not everybody agrees to that, but many Rishonim do. The Rosh for sure, and many Rishonim agree to that model. So the Yechezkel is working within that model. He's assuming that's the Pashas HaDvar. It's the Pashas in the Sugya of Yidu Baba Kama. Now, even we, non-reviewed people, accept to a certain degree of Yidu's model, at least vis-a-vis Nezik.
If you wouldn't, who would pay that
Nezik? That's the further question. Who would be the one to pay? So, well, the if it's a Shor Muad, so Shor Muad pays not from the Shor, it pays from the Aliyah Sabailim. So maybe the Bailim would still be Chayav to pay. The old Bailim would still be Chayav to pay. So that's maybe a more Baba Kama question. So the Yechezkel is working the Ikves HaRosh, because he's Rishayim, that even we ultimately agree that when you're dealing with Shor Shehizik, it's critical that the Shor be owned B'Shas Hezek, and it be owned subsequently as well, till the very end, till the payment is made, there has to be a Bailim there. Knowing that piece of information, I want to hear the wheels turning, Rabbi Say. I want you to see if you can be mechaving to the Kasha of the Yechezkel against the Ramban's Kasha. Those who were with us last year, Psochem, should be able to figure that out fairly quickly. Frechted the Yechezkel. Everybody knows, not everybody, but some people know, that Yisuri HaNoah don't have any bailus to them. You can't own Yisuri HaNoah as a Shai and a Shaykh to own the Devar HaSavah. No, you can't own that cheeseburger, you can't own that, or you can't own the Kilei Kerem. So says the Yechezkel, I don't say the Ramban's Kasha. I have my grapes. And you have your wheat. The minute the wall falls down, trouble begins. When does the hezek begin? The hezek only takes place when? When it's ready, asabano. So it becomes asabano. So I don't understand. Frequently, the Yechezkel, once it becomes asabano, it doesn't. The grapes don't belong to the Baalim anymore. The Baal of grapes is nish Baal of grapes. He's nish Baal Ashor. Because it's a davar asabano. So once it's Asmanah, that's halacha equivalent of as if he was mafkarit. He doesn't own it anymore. So how could the Ramban pose the kasha? They frek the kasha in the Gemara. How could you be chayev only al dinah de gami, al just watered down on the mamazik, which is machlek satanoim, take away the shorja hizik, frek the yechezkel of the kasha from Ramban, is the hefker. If it's hefker, I am a kabbat of yigimul. There's no hezik, there's no mamon shehizik. So that's the reason why the Gemara had to fall back. I didn't think of it. I didn't think of it as an other mamazik to get in. It's a lower level. Machlek Zatanoi, when that's called other mamazik. Other mamazik, there's no din of it. You have to own it. You own yourself. That's ridiculous. So what did the Ramban want? Let's look at Ramban. The Ramban is drinking and frekt the kash and shlugging up the Gemara and saying, what happened to Mamad Jehizik? Frekt the Yechetzik. What's with the Mamad Jehizik? It's Afkir. That's the Yechetzik's kash. You know what I say? What's the easiest way out of this kasha? What's the weakest point in the kasha of the Divya Cheskel? Who said a davar asbano is ownerless? Vishtekazoi, davar asbano is ownerless. So if you go down that route, then you're not bothered with Divya Cheskel's kasha. If you're not bothered with kasha, then Rabban's kasha is great. You have to deal with the kasha, which is not sure whose kasha we have to deal with. If you like the Divya Cheskel's kasha, then you have to deal with the Ramban's kasha. If you don't like the Divya Cheskel's kasha, then you're stuck with the Ramban's kasha. So you're not going to get away without a kasha in Tanisha.
Where's the Ramban asking about the
Kama? The Ramban doesn't talk about the Kama. So those were with us last year. The new guys also bring in, I think, up to speed right away. Yaduam before some, this was a machlekes rishayim, a famous machlekes rishayim. When something becomes asav anor, does it automatically translate to mean it's not yours or not? Who remembers? Who were the Balei Plukta and the Rishayim in this topic?
Zos, Rashba, Chazim Sofer.
Yeah, those are. So you mentioned one Rishon and a couple of Achmar. I guess because you've been in the Shia long enough to know that it's like a Rishon, that's why. Okay? So you got everybody right. But only one of them was Rishon. So this is the Machlekes derived in the ritual. Right, the famous Yaduam Aforsim from last year, from Deir Deiris, Machlekes derived in the ritual. It's in Yad Biyayim a little bit. Sukkis coming around the bend. Esek Shalorla. Mishnah says Esek Shalorla is no good. Very unclear on the Gemara. Why is it no good? Zok derived, it's no good. You know why? Because it's not Lochem. Frek the Rizval. Vosva not Lochem. Just because it's also about no. Why does that make it not Lochem? Why not Yotzik on the Rizval? Who remembers? Because it's, that's the Ksuse. Why is the Rizval really saying not Yotzik? Because the Ksuse. Methashuv. It's over the Kachlis Reifa, right? Machlekes derived in the Rizval. Okay? So that was Yaduam Aforsim Machlekes. So the Halak of Ktzais, the Halak of Ktzais was so convinced that the Ritval was right. Even though he thought it was the Rashba, but remember from last year, right? Remember when he had the wrong Chedushia Ritval, he thought the Chedushia was the Chedushia Rashba. It wasn't Ktzais' fault, so did everybody else in the 1800s. But the Halak of Ktzais, Chusa Yogan, the Halak of Ktzais, I feel like it's time for the Keshayfa, I'd say, after Ktzais. Zakatsky used to say Ktzaisim before the Kishayfa. So now we have the Kishayfa, still doing Ktzaisim. So the Heilig Ktzais said that the Ritval is 100% right. Yisur HaNor considered to be yours. Yeah, it's true. You can't be Meicheret, you can't be Maktashit, you can't be Mafti. Yeah, all of that's true because the Shalovi and the Meshuso. I think this should ring some bells back, bring back some pleasant memories from last year. Yes, it's true with Shalovi and the Meshuso, but Shalom it is. It belongs to you. Adam Shal Hefker is yours. And therefore, according to the Ktzais, the Kashim, the Vyacheska, B'chlad, they'll get off the ground. How many guys expected they're going to come to Shia today in Baba Basra, and the Kasha of the Ramban is going to hinge upon all the Yesaitis that we spoke about last year? Is it Dabra Asma Noah? Yeah, yours and not yours. So the Vyacheska was assuming one way, and Pasha's the Ramban was assuming the other way. We don't have record in the Ramban himself that I know of how Ramban held in the Shia. I don't know. Rabbi said we have to go back to Nachal Yisrael from last year. The Ktzai said last year that a Dabra Asa Bano is not automatically become Hefker. Not only is it not automatically become Hefker, who remembers the other Yisrael the Ktzai said? Even if you choose to be Mafkerit, you can't be Mafkerit. Why not? Because it's, who remembers from last year? It's Shalovi and Abishuso. The Gemara tells in Baba Kama, there's a special category in Halacha of I own something, but it's out of my control. Somebody took it away from me. Say, I own an animal, and you steal that animal. So the Gemara says, you as the Nigzel, even though the animal's yours, it's 100% yours. There was no Shini on it, it's 1,000% yours, but it's Ein Abishuso. You can't be Makdashi, you can't be Mafkir, according to Moshe, you can't sell it, you can't give it as Matana. So there's this new category called something belonging to you that you can't affect Chalaisim on. So the Ktzais had his famous breakthrough in Siman Tov Vav, where he says that's exactly what Yisuri HaNo are. And therefore the Ktzais said Yisuri HaNo are not Hefker for two reasons. They don't just automatically become Hefker, because it's also about Novas, Abdullah, and Didimamunus. Just because you can't use it, what's playing Didimamunus? And number two, says the Ktzais, and don't think that, oh, once it became Asa Bano, so I realize that it's worthless, I don't really want it anymore, Achmin Mafkazayin, says the Ktzais doesn't work anyway, because it's Shalom Yad Rishusay. So the Ktzais was the biggest anti-Yisur Yano becoming Hefker. Can't be, there is no halachic mechanism for Yisur Yano to become Hefker. But then the Ktzais says to Kasha himself, who remembers the throwback from last year, the Ktzais said, okay, even though Yisuri HaNo don't become Hefker, and you don't even have the Koyach to be Mafkir, if you wanted to go to the Seder B'Shuso, but you can do something to Yisuri HaNo. There is something you can do that L'chorah can change their status. What was that? You can be Messiah from them. You can give up hope of ever using it again. It's like Moshe Mandel, if I lose something. I lose my wallet, I lose a $10 bill on the street. So I'm a siyayish from it. So once it's used, someone else can take it. So says the Ktzos, You give me siyaish and midovashen and reshuso. You give me siyaish and gazelas and ganevas and aveves. What's the shot? Of course, you give me siyaish and midovashen and reshuso. So the Ketzos asked on himself back last year in Sibin Tovav. He says, I understand that a dover osmano doesn't become hefka me'ilam. That I got. And I understand, especially why you don't have the kayach to be mafkir, a dover osmano, because it's ene reshuso. But why can't you be misyaish from it? No, who remembers? Oh, so the Ketzos himself said, you can be misyaish from today till tomorrow. But when you're misyaish from something, it's blight yours. It's still yours. Yush doesn't take effect immediately. Yush sets up the possibility for someone else to be zoicha on it. But Kol Zman, the other fellow wasn't zoicha on it. Your yush is meaningless. And I can misyaish today and back after the yush 20 minutes from now. So the Ketzos says yush doesn't make something in a shalom. Hefker makes up the inner shalom. Yush doesn't have that koyach to make up the inner shalom. So the Ketzos is sitting and holding on to this esrog shel orla, and he's saying, what's wrong with the esrog shel orla? It's not lochem. Based on what made it not lochem? Based on what mechanism in halacha did the esrog shel orla not become lochem? Be the fact that it's also by now makes it not lochem automatically? Mechitesi. The fact that you were mafkirit, you can't be mafkirit even if you wanted to be mafkirit. Because once it's also by not shalom, you had a b'shusa. The fact that you gave up hope of ever using it, for you it's worthless now. It's like you lost it. Vaylach chaser kis. Yush is garnished. L'mal l'mayrit. Yush doesn't make it in a shalom. And therefore the Ketzos says, if it was 1,000, is that right? The right is not right. L'kachtam l'chem v'yabrishon. This is l'chem. Why can't you be yetzir nesek shalom? For another reason. It's aitek azach. Because it's k'susim echte shiurei. But in terms of Didymonimus, there's nothing wrong with it. That was a famous breakthrough, right? This is Ketzos, bring back some, ring some bells, right? The famous favorite Ketzos in Simon Tov Vav. One of the most famous Ketzos in the round. The Baisai, as Zach alluded to before, even though it's possible, Ketzos said what he said, Ketzos and the Nesivis also, and the Ketzos' brother, they all said the same thing, that a Dovash of Yush is not Yotzeh Rishuscha. But who was the Bar Plukt on that one? Ramban. We dug up a Ramban in Pesachim last year, we dug up a Ramban in Metzia last year, the Ramban in a few places. If this is Alma Melton, his notes in the Ramban. Every time the Ramban says a line like this, he says, oh, I am Ketzos, the Ketzos against Ketzos, not Ketzos, not Ketzos. Ramban was the one, the Rishon, who said, came out explicitly, that once you're misyayish from something, it's ois yours. So now, come to Devi Yecheskel, and he says, wait a second, this is the Ramban talking. The Heilige Ramban talking. The Ramban asked the Kasha, what do you mean, Dina Degarmi, Tape Lance, and Momina Hizik? Devi Yecheskel and Slabotka didn't just read around, okay, let's get to the Teretz. No. They didn't get to come days to get to the Teretz in Slabotka. So let's analyze the Kasha. Was made the Ramban. The Ramban meant out Shorsha Hizik. What's for Shorsha Hizik? The Gemara of Kam Yud Gimel. We both to be shown and learn, probably Ramban also, that Shorsha Hizik, the Hifkiroi, once it becomes ois yours, the game's over. There's no Hizik anymore. So once it becomes Osabana, it's not yours. You want to say it doesn't become yours because it automatically becomes Hefker? You want to say it doesn't become yours because you were Mafker? Or you want to stick to the Ketzos and say those two things don't work, but the third one works. The Yush works. And the Yecheskel Kizok, he quotes, says, and he says, I don't think I don't know the Ketzos. He says, I know the Ketzos God's good. He says, Kvar Mochle Mea Uchle, he says, it's a phrase that Gemara used, that they already hacked him over the head 100 times. The later Rechmeyim didn't like this Ketzos. It's a Ketzos, it's a Nesivus. In the Sivas, true was a Kri, but he says that later, right in the Ramban said it. Ramban says that it's Yatsim Shusai. So with Yatsim Shuso, there's no Bailam anymore, there's no Bailam. Wasfa Shora, Mazik. That's the Bechasel's Kasha. It's good Kasha. So comes to Bechasel and he says, I'm going to go back to the drawing board, back to the Ramban. I tell you what the Ramban's kasha was. It was the Loshen Ramban? Ramban says, "Amaylo lechayv kol yama." It's like you're sure that you didn't put a fence, you didn't stop, you didn't block your barn. So you're sure get out. Remember I said a short and get out of the damage in three ways. Karen, Shane, Beretta. Shane doesn't seem to fit fit the pattern. Picture of Shane. We went for Karen first, but that was our choice. Maybe this is not Karen. This is Regan. If I had to draw a picture on the board of an equation now, the equation is not between an animal goring and Karen and grapes damaging wheat. The equation is between an animal trampling v'shilach is be'irai regel regel habazik zog the divi yecheskel that gzeres hakosuv that you have to buy them at chila v'yatsoif. Where did that gzeres go? Where did it come from? What's the gzeres hakosuv? So he dug up a sheet mekubetz that says umachos ashor hachai v'chotz was kaspo. It's only, that's a special gzeres hakosuv only by Karen, not by Shane v'regel. Says in the Vichas, I challenge you, 119 blot in Baba Kama. Show me a Gemara Fakir. There is no such din that you need Baila Mechil Yatzoif, but any other Mazik except for Karen. Shein Peregel is different. Shein Peregel is very different. There are so many differences. Shein Peregel is part of Vishus Arabim, Karen is Chavish Arabim. Karen is short time, pays Chazin Ezek, there's no Thomas. It's more Bit Chilosan for Shein Peregel. Shein Peregel and Karen are different Mazikim, same animal, different Mazikim. They're different Abbas and Mazikim. Arab Abbas and Mazikim, 24 Mazikim, they're different. So comes to Vicheska and says, Nira Loloimar, that the Kushas Aramban is Mikoyach Shein Varegel, not Mikoyach Karen. That's Kasha. Wow. So first we had to have a whole Shabbat Torah with Ketzoysa with the Vicheska, taking out the Ketzoysa, bringing back memories from last year. And now to appreciate what's Frek the Ramban. You should just know, from your own Torah knowledge, that the Mechaz Chinuch wrote as a double portion. Yeah. If you believe there's a tour of Nogach v'chak v'chiftir, I'm dafkin Nogach. Here's a guy who thinks Shein v'regel v'chak v'chiftir is also potter. It's all the same. There's no chiluk. The Devi Cheska is not meshugah to the Mechaz Chinuch. So the Devi Cheska is working with this assumption. So it sounds like the Devi Cheska is good. It sounds like he's got a mahalach for us. It sounds like we're good to go. Shein v'regel is going to solve the world's problems. Says it to Yecheskel himself. If you learn a little further in Baba Kama, getting right out of the first parak to the sixth parak, you realize that things are not so good. So lo pashut. Shein v'regel is going to run into another brick wall. The Mishnah in the sixth parak of Baba Kama discusses the following scenario. I have an animal. I'm watching my animal pretty well. It's pretty well protected. I did a pretty decent shmirah on this animal. And in some mishunadik way, an animal somehow climbed up on the roof. Animals generally don't do that. And somehow it got over the makeh. And it tumbled down over the top and it survived the fall. And it ended up in your backyard. So I'm a mishunadik thing. And then the animal got hungry. Had a lot of exercise for the day. I got hungry. It's not to munch away your carrots. You come screaming. I didn't tire. Shame b'shus hayochid. Shame b'shus hanizach. Uvi avistei achre. Adu b'schai have to pay. What's the answer? Enough have to pay. Why am I not have to pay? As the Gemara says, you get a sixth pack of Baba Kama, that the description of shame the regal of the Torah is v'shilach es b'iro uvi avistei achre. It means I was kind of helping it along. I didn't literally bring it necessarily to your backyard. I left the door open. I was pesheya. I let my animal spazier around all the night. So the only tzura of shein v'regel that's chayiv, that's be such a certain degree of participation, a degree of pshiya samazik. But if it's about a shuddah that go crazy, derech oinus or something, so important. Other ba'mazik oinus is chayiv. But Behema, Shehizik, Derech, Shein, Vereg, Aboinus is Potter. That's what Gemara says in Baba Kama. That's what the Mishnah says. Who would have ever expected in a million years that it would climb up and fall in? So whatever it eats in that Aruga is going to be Potter. Comes the Gemara with a strange Machlokes Amoraim. Very, very bizarre Machlokes Amoraim. Well, of course, what's the din is following? My animal climbed up to the roof, jumped over the top, fell into your backyard. landed on a nice cushion of carrots and starts bunching away. So those carrots that fell on and it eats its potter. Yeah, the animal's always good, it's a good meal. So the animal feels a little better, got its strength back, starts spatsiering around, and walks over to the next aruga, to the next row of carrots, and starts eating those carrots also. It's like, what's my colleague's number? Are you chayiv on those carrots? It's a strange machlokes. So one of them seems to say that for that you are responsible. The other one says, no, you're not responsible for the whole parsha, the whole aruga. The whole part, this, the whole orchard, the whole carrot, the backyard, your pot. That's strange. What's the machlokes? What's going on? So the Rosh has a comment on that. So the Rosh says, I don't understand. He says, I'm not sure I understand. The animal fell down into the first row of carrots. By the way, are you guys going to 1:30 Mincha? The guys are rushing to Mincha? No. In Yeshiva. Everyone's like in a big rush. Whoever has to go to Mincha, go to Mincha. Anyone going? No? Okay. Well, either you went already or there. So let's get to it. I don't want to leave the animal high and dry in the middle of eating the carrots. I think to lift the Shabbos to figure out what happened to the carrots. So Tzimis, it's a Rosh Hashanah, so he's eating Tzimis. So the animal fell into aruga number one, row number one of the carrot backyard, okay? So he falls down, he's munching away, and the carrots is potter. Mishnah is potter. Then he gets up, he's spatiering around, finds other carrots. And one Amora says, Yechayev to beg. So says the Rosh, I don't understand. Did the owner of the animal have time to realize what was going on? Did he chop what was happening? Did he realize that his animal fell into the carrots? Did he have a chance to go run and go grab the animal out of the carrots? Obviously he had time to do that. There's no question he had time to. If he didn't have time to do that, Rabbi Yisai, so then what is he vis-a-vis the second row of carrots? He's vaitereinus. So for shteitzach, the owner had time to get in there to stop it. Otherwise, how could one Myra say such a thing? That he's chayav in the second row of carrots. So for shteitzach, he understood what happened. I don't understand. If the owner had enough time to chop what was going on, says the Rosh, know what's the kasha?
And how could he be potter even on the first one?
He should be chayav in the first one also. I mean, it's true. We're not mad at him per se for that his animal jumped over the roof. It was a sure like a thing. But once he finds out about it, obviously he has responsibility to get in there and stop it from damaging. So one of says, I understand. The Gemara quotes a David that says, one of the Amorim says, we split between the second batch of carrots and the first batch of carrots. The first batch of carrots have been an earnest. The second batch of carrots, to be the Peshe. If you had time to get in there, so then you invite the Peshe for the first ones also. If you didn't have time, then you're earnest for the second one. So what's going on? So the Rosh, Alom de Shavart. Only the Rosh. Yeah, Risham. If I was reading this Gemara, I'd say, what is that? Nafkamina when Bugs Bunny is eating the carrots. Like, the whole thing is such a strange thing. And I wouldn't make such a tumult out of this. That would have been a great line, Asher. I was about to say, I wouldn't make such a tzimis out of this. Asher, you got to get that down. Timus of sweet carrots, for those who don't know. Okay, so if I was reading this Gemara, I wouldn't have made such an exciting stuff. Parsha was a complicated sugi about this. The Rosh read every line of the Gemara and every Kimta and every Havamin and every Machlaikas, and he says, I yesoid this. He comes up with a yesoid that we never knew. We learned Bava Kamma, six prokham into Bava Kamma. We thought we knew everything about Shein Bereg, and one thing the Rosh tells the following yesoid. That to be chayav for Shein Bereg, you need a pshia, a shiloch of ear, as a lash of pshia, a baile. The pshia has to be betchilas shas hanezek, betchilas knisos on the mokam hanezek. That's where the pshia has to be. If b'shas tchilas hanezek, b'shas tchilas haknisa the mokam hanezek, it wasn't the pshia. And now, in this galgul advarim, 20 minutes later, something occurs that creates a pshia. You found out about this crazy mice that your animal jumped over the fence. That's not called b'shiluch ubiyah. That's why, one day the Gemara says, that of course you found out about it. And why do you know about it? That's why we're holding you responsible for the second row. Because vis-a-vis the second row of carrots, you know, you're Peshaya, Legavi, the Tchilas Knesset, the second Aruga, the second row of carrots. So even though the Bailam knows exactly what's going on, whatever is being Huzak in the first row is covered by the Ptuor of Tchilas Knesset Be'ainis. Das is Nishke Peshilach, das Nishke Lubiyah. But Legavi, the second Aruga, there is a Chiv. Because that's the Tchilas Knesset Be'Peshia. That you already knew. By the time it gets to the second, you knew God is good, that it's about to walk into the second row and you're going to stop it. So I stayed in the rush. Now, what's the machlokes I'm right about? Like one Amora says, you're even on the second row, by the way. What do you think? What's the lomdish of machlokes?
Oh, they're arguing about this.
The second Amora, no one argues in lomdis. They're arguing about the nuances, the details of this halacha. When an animal have a backyard of carrots, do you view each aruga as a separate, somehow, a separate entity? Or they say, this is all the same, So the one Amora says, just as you potter on the first carrots, you potter on the second carrots. Ah, you know about it? That's right, doesn't matter. Because the tchilat kines also was not aydepshi, was aydei oynis. And the other day it says, no, we could split up and say, the first group of carrots you potter potter on, even though you're a pesher right now, but that's already tchilat kinesa was b'ptor. The second carrots, the seventh, it's a machlek zilpas carrots, a machlek zilpas nezikin. Everyone agrees to the cloud, the rush. The rush is cloud, is yedum aforsom. It wasn't yedum aforsom until we read it. The Rosh has this klal god luchos nezikin. Shem v'regel, the darga from pshia is measured. The barometer of pshia is measured b'shas tchilas hakenisa lemakom hezik. And if it was einis b'shas tchila, that's a nishkein achiv of beer, v'shilach, etc. No, the Bicheskel discovered this Rosh. The Bicheskel learned from Basas Abayis when he said Shuman Slabotka, so he knew the Rosh also. Says the Bicheskel. When the problem began, when the grapes are bumping into the wheat, the problem began when the fence fell down. At that moment, the Baal HaGefen, the Baal HaKerem, was not doing anything wrong. He had just built a 20-foot wall. He was the Einis Gomor. When does he become a Peshaya? When a week later, Bezin says, Omelo Gedor, they said, oh, by the way, we just noticed the fence is down. My fence is down. Okay, I've been a tremendous peshay at this point. But I'm not going to be chayav for Shem Beregel on that. Because the tchilas knisa l'mokam hezek was be'oimus. You see the godless in Slavot, the godless of the Vicheskel? If I would have told you that an animal jumping a fence and landing on a row of carrots is the halach equivalent of planting grapes on my side with the fence in place, the fence falling down, and subsequently damaging the wheat. That's the identical picture in halacha, says the Bichestel. That's an example of a lack of pshia b'shas tchilas k'nisos l'mocha b'hezek. And as such, we're up the creek. Because you can't be chai if you're shaking right on that either. If so, up to Ramban, respect to Ramban. Ramban says, Hashor hu d'lo tovach b'yape. You didn't lock up your shore. So the Bicheskel challenges Ramban. You didn't lock up your shore. You name the Av. You name the Av Amazik, Ramban. You name the Av. Whichever one you want. Whichever one you want, unless you're Kasha. You want to tell me it's Karen? Can't be Karen because you yourself, Ramban, himself, told me that once you miss Yayish, it's always yours. So it's Eim Abayla Mishas did. It's Potter. You want to change the rules of the game and tell me it's Shane Beregel against Mechaz Chidach, it's Shane Beregel from subject to that din. I got you on another din. Because it's not Chidach to Nisasan Bipshia. There is no case to the Ramban's Kasha. So what did Ramban want from the Gemara? Ramban's Kasha was Nishkin Kasha, Nish Karen, Nish Shane Beregel. He's got a lot of work to do, hopefully. He's got to think about it a lot of Shabbos, okay? Hopefully, Mitzvah on Sunday, we'll try to. I didn't say we'll answer the Ramban's Kasha yet. We haven't even figured out what the Ramban's Kasha was in the first place. Hopefully, on Sunday we'll try to do the Ramban. Okay, Shkach, guys. Thanks, everybody. Okay, keep you posted.